This was her mood of devotion. And how she prepared that moga. Oh, how she prepared with such love. After everything was prepared, she personally made up the plates for all the six sets of deities. And she decorated those plates with such beautiful ornamentation. How she put every preparation so beautiful with tulsi leaves. She brought it on the altar and offered it with love. And in reciprocation to Janava Devi's love, she actually saw all the deities eating the boga and having great fun doing it. And Janava Devi just began to cry tears to see how they were enjoying her offering. But out of the ritual of the ceremony, she said the prayer, then she had to go outside and close the door and wait for the deities to stop. She performed the ceremony, and in her heart, she was laughing, while the deities inside were having so much joy eating her boga. And she knocked on the door, and she opened the door, and took it out as Mahaprasad. And she personally served the prasad to the Vaishnavas. The devotee said, "No, no, no, you sit down." She said, "No, I will serve. I will serve." So with Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thapkur, Shamananda, Rasika Murari, and all these great Vaishnavas, Ramchandra Kaviraj, they were all assisting Janava Devi in serving. And how these devotees enjoyed that prasad. Achyutananda, son of Advaita, he said, "I have never eaten so much in my whole life. But I can't stop eating this. It is like nectar." And Sripati, Srinidhi, the two brothers of Srivas Acharya, Srivas Pandit, they were saying, "We have to eat more. When will we ever get an opportunity to eat such nectarine food as this? Cooked by the hands of Janava Devi." It's explained that all these great mahants, eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were just eating and eating and eating. They were not eating food, they were eating love. Can you imagine Janava Devi's love? Just by her glance, she impregnated Narottam to bring Lord Chaitanya down. Can you imagine when she put her heart and soul in every preparation, all of her love, what that prasad tasted like? That was the feast that was served out here in Kethari Gram. The feast of all feasts. Devotees were weeping and crying, just tasting the preparations. They were in bliss. They were literally eating Janava Devi's ecstatic love personified in the food. They were eating too much, but they couldn't stop. They were conquered by her affection. After this prasad, the devotees wanted Janava Devi to eat. She said, "No, no, no. Now I will serve all the servers." She insisted. She sat down all the servers and she personally served them. Along with Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shamananda Prabhu. And then after everybody else, all the servers were served, then she served Srinivas, Narottam, and Shamananda. And after everybody, enjoyed the supreme prasad of all prasad. Then they insisted that she sit down and take something because she fasted the whole day before and all day this day. So she sat down and they fed her her own prasad after long fast. So this is Ishwari, Janava Devi, the Shakti of Nityananda Prabhu. Yes, she was a great spiritual master, but she was a mother. She was a perfect female in her devotion, and her acharyaship was in the role of mother of all the Vaishnavas, wanting to cook for them, wanting to serve them, wanting to show her love for them like her own children. Janava Devi ki. But what an incredible, empowered preacher she was. The next day, the idea was presented that let all the Vaishnavas, oh, actually in that day, after the prasad was there, for the rest of the night, there was kirtan here in the temple of Lord Gauranga. After prasad, they all rested for some time, then they assembled in the temple, and Narottam Das Thakur led kirtan throughout the night, along with the devotees. Such inundation of chanting and dancing filled the entire Khetri Gram. The whole area was permeated with Prema Bhakti. The next day, each of the great Vaishnavas were offered whatever they wanted. They supplied the ingredients to each house where the devotees were staying so that each one could be cooked whatever they specifically wanted. And their own private associates and disciples and cooks were cooking for them. But Janava Devi cooked that day too. So most of the devotees came here. And she served out all the Vaishnavas. The next day, it was time for the Vaishnavas to leave. Janava Devi explained that she had a great calling in her heart to go to Vrindavan, and she must leave at once. What sorrow this caused to the devotees' hearts. When Janava Devi departed, Santosh Dutt, he gave such incredible gifts to Janava Devi, and her entire entourage left with her. He arranged provisions to be carried with her for her journey, just made every possible arrangement for them. This was the mood of their service. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, Shamananda, seeing Janava Devi leaving, and there's going, and all the mahants are going with her. And on the same day, Achyutananda was going back to Shantipur, and Yadu Nandan Acharya was going back to Katwa, and the devotees of Navadweep were going back to Navadweep. The whole town of Khetri Gram went to the Padma River, weeping tears, saying goodbye to these great souls. Janava Devi promised, after Vrindavan, I will come back. Within the next couple days, Srinivasacharya and Shamananda also departed. Narottam Das Thakur went to the bank of the Padma River to see them off on their boats. And when Shamananda, Srinivasacharya, Janava, and everybody left, Narottam Das Thakur his heart was filled with the ecstatic grief of separation. He came back to the deity in the temple here. But when he saw the forms of Balabhikanta, Braj Mohan, Sri Krishna, Radharaman, Radhakanta, and Gauranga, when he saw their forms, happiness awakened in his heart. And when he remembered how Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared right here in Khetri Gram to dance with his associates in Sankirtan, Narottam Das Thakur forgot all the sorrow of the Vaishnavas leaving. And with great ecstasy for the pleasure of the deities, he worshipped them by performing Sankirtan with his disciples and with his associates here in Khetri Gram. Ishwari Devi Janava returned here to Khetri as she promised after being in Vrindavan. We know the story of her great journey. There was a band of dacoits who were just outraged that people were worshipping a woman. And also they thought, if they're worshipping her, she must have all kinds of wealth that she's giving them. So in the middle of the night, they decided they were going to rob her. She was just staying under a tree by a river with her entourage of devotees. So they lifted deadly weapons. And when Janava Devi and all the devotees were sleeping, they attacked. They ran. They were only a few minutes away. It was pitch dark. They ran and they ran and they ran and they ran and they ran for hours and hours and hours. They kept running and running and running and running and running. And then the sun rose and they were in the same place. And they realized that Janava Devi is a supreme goddess. So they cast away their weapons and fell at her feet and surrendered. Confessed their sins. She accepted them all as her disciples and gave them Krishna Prem. In another town, it was a town of Samartha Brahmins. And some of the simple people were Vaishnavas. They came to the outskirts to worship Janava Devi. But the Samartha Brahmins were very learned and very powerful. They saw Janava Devi, and these foolish, ignorant people are worshipping a woman? Tch! They decided to kill her. So they performed a special puja to Bhavani, Durga Devi, to kill Janava Devi. And that night, Bhavani appeared in a dream with eyes red like coals. She had a chopper in her hand, and each one of those Brahmins individually had the same dream, where she had the chopper right at their neck. And she was trembling in anger. She said, "I will kill you! I will kill you! You will die, you envious fool! Bhavani, what did we do? What did we do? We worship you. You are our goddess. What did we do? You have offended Janava Devi. She is the consort of Nityananda, the supreme personality of Godhead. She is my worshipable object of love. You go to her, surrender your life to her, or I will be back tomorrow to kill you." So they went, and next morning, these great Brahmins were just blaspheming, criticizing, planning to kill her. She forgave them, gave them initiation, In this way, Janava Devi was a very, very merciful, loving... She was the compassionate energy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And when she went to Vrindavan, she was worshipped by Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Raghava Pandit and all, Madhu Pandit and all the Vaishnavas. And we know the story how Gopinath deity told her to make a new deity for her, a bigger sized Radharani. So she told Narottam Das Thakur the whole story of her trip. And Narottam Das Thakur was so very, very happy. All the residents of K3 welcomed Janavi Devi here. And then Narottam said, but you should return to Kardahas very fast because Gopinath is waiting for his Srimati Radharani to appear. So she departed. Now I'll begin my lecture. Here in Khetri Gram, Narottam Das Thakur really began his preaching alongside with Ramchandra Kaviraj, the great disciple of Srinivasacharya. They were teaching pure devotional service as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Sri Rupa Goswami to reveal to the world. The Brahmins, they couldn't tolerate this. Because most of the Brahmins in this area were very much addicted to karma kanda and jnana kanda. And Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj were absolutely preaching against any path except pure bhakti. Anyabhilashita sunyam kam. They were preaching Rupa Goswami's message that pure devotional service is free of any tinge of karma or jnana. So these Brahmins were very upset. One day, a very learned, powerful, leading Brahmin came here to K3 and fell at the feet of Narottam Das Thakur, weeping tears. He explained that I am a disciple and devotee of Bhagavati, the goddess Durga. And I'm a Karmakandi. And you're a Kayasta. I'm Brahmin. When I saw you, low-class person, Kayastas are usually considered Shudras in the Bengal area, and Kshatriyas in other areas. You, Kayasta, you're preaching. You're speaking against my whole religion. You're speaking against everything I've given my life to. I criticized you. I blasphemed you. I tried to undermine you. And then Bhagavati, in a dream, appeared to me and told me I was a demon and I was an ignorant fool and I would have to suffer leprosy. And immediately, my body was consumed with leprosy. Look, I'm a leper. Bhagavati appeared to me and told me, unless I surrender to you, I will be damned in hell. Please forgive me. I beg to take shelter at your lotus feet. This man was completely covered with leprosy. Narottam Das Thakur placed his feet on that man's head and told him to chant the holy names. Then Narottam Das Thakur began a kirtan with his devotees, and this man just got up and started dancing and dancing and dancing, and in front of everybody's eyes, as he danced and chanted, little by little, all the symptoms of his leprosy just disappeared in his dance until he was a perfectly normal, resplendent, healthy person and became an initiated disciple of Narottam Das Thakur. One day, Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur went to the banks of the river Ganga. There, they saw two young boys. And they had heard of many, many cubs. There was goat cubs and buffalo cubs. Little baby animals. And it was obvious what they were doing with those cubs. They were bringing them for sacrifice. Because it was the time of the year of Durga Puja. So Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj saw the potential in those boys' hearts. And in their great mercy, they began to speak to each other about the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya loud enough so the boys could hear. And the boys, just herding the cubs, they were listening and listening and listening. And actually just hearing Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj discussing amongst themselves, they were completely convinced of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. So they approached Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur. They were asked, "Who are you?" The little boy said, "My name is Hari Ram, and this is my brother Ram Krishna. We are the sons of Shivayacharya. He's a very, very powerful, learned, wealthy Brahmin. And he is a great devotee of Bhavani. And now is the time of Durga Puja." So his physician, whose name is Balaram, came with us here to give us the money to buy all of these cubs of goats and buffaloes for the purpose of sacrificing to the goddess Durga. But now that we have heard from all of, now that we have heard your words, we understand that this is sinful. We will let all these cubs go. We want to be your disciples. Please give us the shelter of your lotus feet. So, Narottam Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj brought them back here to Khetri and instructed them in the principles of Vaishnava philosophy as Lord Chaitanya taught, and especially taught them Sankirtan. For many days, there was Sankirtan of the holy names. And then Ramchandra Kaviraj initiated Hari Rama, and Narottam Das Thakur initiated Ram Krishna. Along with performing kirtan, they trained them very, very proficiently in the science of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Then the boy said, "Actually, it's the culmination of the festival. We do have to go back to see our father. He's going to be very upset." So their guru sent them back to be with their father. On the way, they met Balaram, father's physician, and preached to him, and he was absolutely convinced that this was it. And Narottam Das, he accepted Narottam Das Thakur as his guru in his heart and accepted his teachings wholeheartedly. But he said, "Your father is really angry. Beware." So when they went before Shivayacharya, he was flying in rage. He was just screaming, "What nonsense! What have you boys done? Where were you? Where are the cubs to offer? Where is the blood and the flesh of the cubs to offer Durga Devi? You spoiled my puja! And you're associating with Vaishnavas? What nonsense, Vaishnavas! They're useless, they're low-born, they're low-grade, they're ignorant. The highest Siddhanta of all Vedas is Bhagavati, worship of Durga. What nonsense have you done?" I dare you. Support your philosophy before the pundits of my court. They will smash all of your misconceptions to pieces, and then you will surrender to my way of life. Hari Rama said, take me before these pundits. He was just a small boy. He took him before the most learned scholars of the Brahmin community. And little Hari Rama smashed all their arguments into powder. Crushed them. The pundits turned to Shivayacharya and said, this Vaishnava philosophy is undefeatable. There's nothing we could do. We have lost. Shivayacharya became ever more furious. So he called the Digvijay Pandit of Mithila, whose name was Murari. Undefeatable scholar. He traveled to all the different provinces and proved his belief of Bhagavati. So he called for Murari all the way from Mithila. Now this Murari was very proud and very learned, very wealthy. Because he defeated so many people, he had tremendous wealth and followers and popularity. People worshipped him. And he came before Hari Rama Ramakrishna. And Balaram, who just Hari Rama preached to one time, he debated against Murari and totally defeated him. So this Murari, he was so humiliated that he gave up all his wealth and just became a beggar. He was utterly put to shame. At that point, Shivayacharya was on the verge of death. He was so upset. And then Durga Devi appeared to him in a dream and told him, you should also surrender. So they became two very, very, very great disciples of Narottam Das Thakur. Later on, they're called Ram Krishna Acharya and Hari Ram Acharya. Now, there was a town called Gamvila, which is just across the river Padma, which is actually on the banks of the Ganga. And in Gamvila, there was a very, very great scholar. High-class Brahmin. Pure Brahmin in every respect. Respected, honored, and worshipped by the population. Even amongst the Brahmins, he was very highly respected as a scholar of all the scriptures. And very, very pure in his heart. His name, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. Now this Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was just watching. And he saw this little Hari Rama and Ramakrishna who were just herding cubs one day. And due to their association with Narottam Das Thakur, they defeated the greatest pundits. They defeated Murari, the Digvijay pundit. And they were so effulgent. They were so pure. They were so blissful with love. Just by seeing this, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was completely astounded. He was thinking in his heart that this Narottam Das Thakur is so great. What these two children have, that's what I want. How could anyone transform two children into being such scholars, such pure-hearted saints? I've wasted my life in the pursuit of vain, mundane knowledge. People honor me, people glorify me, but they're all ignorant. I have nothing. I'm just a gross, ignorant materialist. attached to karma and gyan. I've wasted my entire life in ignorance. Will Narottam Das Thakur accept me? Such a proud, ignorant, materialistic fool, will he accept me? In this way, he spent his life repenting. And then one night he had a dream. He had a dream where Narottam Das Thakur appeared before him. And he fell at Narottam Das Thakur's feet and surrendered. And Narottam Das Thakur placed his feet on his head and said, "Tomorrow I will meet you at the river Ganga." He woke up from the dream and went to the Ganga in Gamvila. And there, just by chance, were Hari Rama and Ram Krishna. And he approached those boys and asked them, "Please tell me, where is your Guru Maharaj? Where is Narottam Das Thakur? Is there any chance that he will accept such a low, fallen, proud materialist as me?" And then Ram Krishna said, "There is Gurudev. He's just coming." And coming down from a hill was Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was so overwhelmed with happiness because Narottam Das Thakur appeared exactly the way he was in the dream. He never saw him before. He fell at the feet of Narottam Das Thakur and surrendered his life. Offered such prayers of humility and devotion, begging Narottam Das Thakur to accept him as his disciple and servant. Narottam Das Thakur picked him up and embraced him and said, "What will all the other learned Brahmins say about you now?" And Ganga Narayan Chakravarti said, "I do not care anything what those ignorant fools say about me. I am your servant." Narottam Das Thakur said, "You stay at my disciple Govinda Kaviraj's house, Govinda Chakravarti's house in Budari. And then tomorrow you come to Gamvila and stay, and then at your own home, and then you come the next day to Khetri Gram, and I will meet you there." So Hari Rama Ram Krishna brought him to Khetri Gram, where we're sitting today, the temple of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. When he saw the beautiful form of Lord Gauranga, oh, his heart melted. And it was here that Narottam Das Thakur initiated Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, instructed him in the science of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy in the line of Sri Rupa Goswami, and taught him the Sankirtan of the holy name. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti became filled with love of God and absolute surrender to the lotus feet of his spiritual master. Another day, a Brahmin named Jagannath Acharya came to Narottam Das Thakur. He was a very, very powerful Brahmin, and he surrendered his life to him. Meanwhile, some of the very, very highly placed Brahmins of surrounding areas, they were outraged to see Jagannath Acharya, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, they're getting initiated by this non-Brahmin Kayastha. Outrageous! It's the damnation of the whole Vedic culture taking place. They were really angry and disturbed. the leader amongst them, Rup Narayan, who was a very, very great scholar. They approached the local king of the bigger king of this area. His name was King Narasingha. They told Narasingha that according to the Vedic literatures, the Brahmins are worshipable, and the lower castes must surrender to the Brahmins. But we find Brahmins are surrendering to low-class sentimentalists and emotionalists. This Narottam Das Thakur is destroying the Vedic culture. And you're the king, therefore you are responsible to protect our religion. The king sent a letter to Narottam Das Thakur asking, why are you doing this? Narottam Das Thakur wrote a reply letter. It was so humble and so respectful and so philosophically explained the truth that the king was happy. But at the same time, the Brahmins were outraged. They could not accept it. So Narasingha Maharaj said, then there should be a debate. If you're so confident that he's wrong in what he's doing, then have a debate and prove to him that he's bogus. And if you can prove to him this bogus, then I will stop him from doing any other preaching like this. Yes, we will prove to him. He's just a fool, a low-class sentimentalist. So they went on a procession with Rup Narayan, the Pandit Digvijay, as well as Narasingha Maharaj, and all the greatest pundits of the kingdom, along with their servants and students. And this procession was coming to Khetri Gram. The news came to Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur said to his devotees, it appears we're going to have a good debate. Ramchandra Kaviraj and Ganga Narayan Chakravarti made a plan. On the outskirts of the town of Khetri, they dressed themselves as simple merchants. Ramchandra Kaviraj was selling betel leaves, sitting on the ground. And Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was selling little clay pots. Mm. So the procession came by. And of course, they wanted to eat some betel nuts. So the pundits sent their students, go get us some refreshments. So they went to get some clay pots and some betel. And they asked, what is the price? And Ramchandra Kaviraj, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, they quoted the price in perfect Sanskrit language. Now, villagers of Bengal do not know Sanskrit language. So these men were shocked. How do you know Sanskrit language? How could you speak such perfect Sanskrit? You're just low-class merchants. They said, because we are the disciples of Thakur Narottam of Khetri Gram. They started blaspheming Narottam. Ah, he's just a kayasta, low class. He's initiating Brahmins. He's spoiling the Vedic culture. So they began to argue scripture and totally defeated him. So the students came back to the pundits and said, you know, there's some problems here. So the pundits sent some of their men. And they were totally defeated by the betel nut, the betel leaf seller and the clay cup seller. And meanwhile, Rup Narayan and the king were watching everything. Along with the leading king's pundits. King Narasimha said, if the simple beta leaf seller and clay pot seller disciples of Narottam Das Thakur have totally defeated us and we have no arguments, what hope do we have of challenging their Gurudev Narottam Das Thakur? The king said, I think we should surrender to him. Rupa Narayan said, yes, yes, yes. But how will we convince these pundits? That night in a dream, Bhagavati appeared before all the pundits and told them she would kill them all if they didn't surrender to Narottam due to their offense. So they went in all and explained this to the king. The king said, yes, yes, I agree, we should all go. So they got off their palanquins. They were all riding on palanquins, processions, and they walked barefoot into Kethri. And they came to the before the deity of Gauranga, Braj Mohan, and the others, saw the beauty of them. And then Narottam Das Thakur came out. King Narasimha and Rup Narayan fell at his feet and begged for shelter. They surrendered their lives. Along with all the pundits of the kingdom, Rup Narayan and King Narasimha became the initiated disciples of Narottam Das Thakur. And they stayed here for some time learning the science of pure bhakti and enjoying blissful kirtan of the holy names. King Narasimha told his wife, Rupa Mali, about the glories of Narottam Das Thakur. She was the queen. She was an ocean of good qualities. She came here. When she heard about Narottam Das Thakur, she on the spot vowed, I'll surrender to him and chant at least one lakh of names every day for the rest of my life. Narottam Das Thakur was so impressed by her devotion, by her chastity, by the goodness of her heart, and by her sincerity. He initiated the queen, Rupa Mali, who became one of his great disciples. Should I continue? Yes. In this area, many dacoits were living. Many dacoits. There probably still are. Very dangerous dacoits. But the king of all of them was Hari Chandra Rai. Chandra Rai was born in a very high-class Brahmin family. But due to bad association from his early childhood, he became a demon. He was so demoniac. By his brahminical powers, he utilized it to get tremendous physical strength. He became a master at every type of weapon. His body was strong, like a warrior. And his heart was cold as ice and hard as steel. He was cruel. He thought nothing of murdering anybody, a Brahmin, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, a Shudra, an untouchable, a child, an old person, a man, a woman. He would kill anybody and anything for even the slightest profit. He was so powerful and so violent that he just created shivers of fear in all the other dacoits. And they joined him. He became the dacoit king. And all other dacoits touched his feet. Not in love, but in fear. He had a huge army. His army of dacoits would just come in with weapons and plunder everything. He took over village after village. He became like the king. Village after village after village, even towns, became his property. One very wealthy king of a district conquered him and took his palace. And together with his father and brother, he had tremendous wealth. Mass stockpile of gold and jewels and coins. Vast estate. And the whole land in this area feared him so much that entire villages just evacuated to move to a distant place in fear that Chandrarai would come and terrorize them. He would rape the women. He would burn houses down. He would torture people. He would kill people. He just wreaked fear everywhere. Chandrarai. Because of his intense, massive sins and all the pains he was causing everyone as a karmic reaction, a Brahmin ghost entered into his body and was torturing him from inside. Now, he was a gross materialist, so he was used to just cutting people's heads off and stabbing them and taking their entrails out and pulverizing people's heads. But what do you do when there's an invisible ghost inside you? He didn't know what to do. He was being tortured and tortured and tortured. He was in so much pain that ultimately it came to the platform where he was just laying down, screaming and screaming. Nobody could save him. His father was bringing all kinds of psychics and mystics and physicians and exorcists, and they were all coming, and the ghost in Chandrarai's body was so powerful, they couldn't do anything. They told Father, it's helpless. This is not an ordinary ghost. This is a Brahmin Rakshasa ghost. There's nothing anybody can do. But Chandrarai had a dream. Because Chandrarai would, during Durga Pujas, tens and thousands of goats and buffaloes he would have sacrificed to his deity of Durga Devi. Because he was big time. Durga Devi appeared to him and to his father also and said, the only hope of your salvation is the mercy of Narottam Das Thakur of Khetri. So the father actually sent a messenger to go to Narottam Das Thakur to ask him to come. But the messenger was so ashamed that Narottam Das Thakur is such a great saint and Chandrarai is the lowest, most despicable rapist, murderer, and plunderer. How could we possibly ask him to come to help Chandrarai? So the messenger didn't even give him the message. So meanwhile, Chandrarai was literally on the verge of death. And then again, his father sent a message to Narottam Das Thakur. That messenger came here to Khetri. He read the note to Ramchandra Kaviraj, Devi Das, Gokulananda, and all of his other very intimate disciples. They were shocked to hear this, because they knew about Harichandrarai. The father is asking, please save my son. So Narottam Das Thakur asked Ramchandra Kaviraj and the others, what do you think? Should I go? And they didn't know what to say. They just, whatever you think, Gurudev, whatever you think, that should be done. They couldn't tell him to go there. So Narottam Das Thakur in Khetri sat in meditation and prayed to Lord Gauranga to give him guidance. In his prayer, Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in beautiful golden form, more beautiful than millions and millions of kandarpas glancing lovingly upon Narottam Das. He said, yes, you go. I will personally deliver Chandrarai through you. I will personally free him from all of his sins and give him prema bhakti. Go and give him initiation. Narottam Das Thakur came out of his meditation and told his disciples, we will go. He left Khetri Gram and walked by foot to the place where Chandrarai was just laying on the floor in a room, screaming in mortal pain and the verge of death. When his father, because they had mass wealth, when his father heard that Narottam was on the outskirts of the town, he had a grand reception to greet him. And he wanted to offer all kinds of puja and paraphernalia and gifts to Narottam. And Narottam Das Thakur said to the father, take me to your son. That is my business here. So they brought him in to Chandrarai. Chandrarai was laying there. Narottam Das Thakur glanced upon him with such compassion, chanting the holy names. He ordered the ghost on the name of Lord Chaitanya to leave. Just upon the glance of Narottam Das Thakur, the body of Chandrarai became so purified that the ghost started speaking through his mouth in a hideous voice. He said, due to my horrible, sinful karma, I have had to live in the despicable, disgusting, horrible body of Chandrarai. But because you have glanced upon us with your mercy, therefore I am now liberated and Chandrarai will be freed of all sins. At this moment I will leave his body. And I pray, Narottam Das Thakur, I pray that with your mercy in my future birth, I will be born in Khetri Gram, in your most auspicious, supremely holy abode where I can be the servant of your servants. And with those words, the Brahmin ghost left. And Chandrarai was relieved with tears of repentance in his eyes. He fell at the feet of Narottam Das Thakur and surrendered along with his father and his brother. Narottam Das Thakur brought them back to Khetri Gram, and here he educated them in Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta, taught them the proper mannerisms and humility of Vaishnav culture, and engaged them in Harinam Sankirtan. In this way, Chandrarai became a great devotee. Trinarapi sunichena tororo ibasihishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. These became the qualities of Chandrarai. He returned to his town. Now there was a Yavana king who hated Chandrarai because he couldn't defeat him over all these years, and he wanted to avenge him. So he heard that Chandrarai became a very gentle, humble Vaishnava. So once when Chandrarai was bathing in the Ganga, he sent his soldiers to arrest him. They brought Chandrarai back to the prison house, and the king blasphemed him horribly. And in order to torture him, to get revenge, he made a horrible prison cell underground. They dug a hole in the ground and then put just metal cage on top of it and cast Chandrarai deep down in the earth to live like an animal. There was practically no air, practically no food, and the prison guards would blaspheme him and torture him. He was suffering like anything from the worldly point of view. But the whole time Chandrarai was just chanting the holy names of the Lord and just praying for the dust of the lotus feet of Narottam Das Thakur. Chandrarai's father was so aggrieved to hear his condition, living underground in a prison cell, that he actually made an announcement that he would pay a huge sum of money to anyone who could free his son from prison. So one tantric mystic came and said, "I know how to free him. Pay me when I deliver your son." So one day Chandrarai is just sitting in this hole in the ground, and he's chanting the holy names, praying for his guru's mercy, tears in his eyes, and all of a sudden, right from the ground, just this tantric mystic yogi comes out. He actually dug a tunnel underground to reach him. How do you do that? There's no air. He said, "Your father has sent me. I have come to free you. But the only way you can escape by going through this tunnel is you have to chant this mantra to Goddess Kali, which I will whisper in your ear." When Chandrarai heard that, he said, "No, you get out from this place. I am the disciple of Narottam Das Thakur. He has given me my mantra. I will not accept any mantra from anyone else. I am the faithful, chaste, loyal disciple of Sri Narottam Das Thakur. Get out from this place. And you tell my father that I'm very happy here chanting Hari Nam. The only suffering I'm having is separation from the lotus feet of my beloved Guru Maharaj Narottam Das Thakur. Get out." So he left, told his father that. After many days, the king was really frustrated because Chandrarai was blissful the whole time. He was being tortured. He was being starved.